Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text for our meditation in this Reformation tide is recorded in the third chapter of St. Paul's Epistle to the Romans, beginning with the 21st verse. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify us your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. We are all competitive by nature. Nobody likes to be benched for a substitute, especially in the real big games of life. The same is true in matters of faith. We say, I'll make it on my own. I'll pay my very own way. None of that cheap grace for me, thank you very much. Paul's claim that our sins merit the wrath of God seems like nothing more than idle talk of heavenly-minded theologians who are no earthly good. Now you certainly recognize that there's not a whole lot of talk about the anger or wrath of God anymore. In fact, the whole concept seems downright barbaric to our modern society. Instead of the God of the Bible, modern society would have you believe in a grandfather-like God who simply overlooks the sins of the unrepentant, just as he forgives the sins of their repentant. No propitiation, no satisfaction of the wrath of God. Just a doting grandfather-like God who simply shrugs off the bad behavior of his disobedient children. In contrast, St. Paul says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. On the other hand, I don't want you to get the impression that God is nothing more than a tyrant with anger issues. Nor do I want you to get the false idea that God is a loveless father who takes some cruel pleasure in watching his son die for the sins of all mankind. All we have to do is read the account of the crucifixion to see that that isn't true. For the cataclysmic event of the crucifixion shows that it so broke the heart of God that ultimately the sun stopped shining and the earth began to quake. The reason why God has righteous wrath over our sins is not only because all the good deeds we do are nothing more than filthy rags, but it's ultimately because our sins are high treason against he who created heaven and earth. Down through the annals of time, there was no higher crime that a person could commit than the betrayal of one's country. Even today, when the merits and the punishment of treason are in the news, is it still interesting that every society, until rather recently, still punished treason with death? After all, betrayal is one of the very worst things that one human being can do to another. It severs all relationships. It destroys all trust. Just the very fear of sedition has driven our country to extraordinary lengths in order to monitor its citizenry like never before. Therefore, Christ had to take our place on the high altar of the cross. For we are all by nature rebels, enemies of God, as St. Paul declares in his epistle to the Romans. Christ then suffered the wrath of God because a traitor's death was the only just sentence for your sins and my sins. Hear the words of St. Paul. "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince, the power of the air, the spirit that now is at work in the sons of disobedience. Likewise, no sin could be overlooked. For God is not just a God of justice, but he is justice himself. He could no more overlook our sins than he could cease to be God. And yet, he is a God of love, a God of profound love, who could not bear to let any of us die. As humanly speaking, God had a cosmic, he had an extreme dilemma before him. What was a just and loving God supposed to do? God balanced this divine equation by reconciling his love and his justice in the person of Christ. For you see, Christ had to be true man so that he could take our place, so that he could be our substitute, paying for the sins of all mankind. But he also had to be true God so that his divine death would have the value in order to pay for the sins of all mankind. One theologian put it like this: grace is indeed free, Gnadenfrei umsonst, grace free for nothing, as the old Lutherans used to say. But it was anything but cheap, for it cost the very life of God. Yet even in God's justice, we see his love shining through. God had mercy upon us when every other government in this world would have consigned us to the firing squad of hell. He not only pardoned us, but he offers us a seat in his royal household. Just think of it. Adam and Eve so desired to become like God that they actually joined forces with Satan in order to steal it. As a result, they became enemies of God and something far less than human. Yet in the greatest exchange in human history, Christ took upon himself our sin, our death, and our hell. And he gave us an exchange: his holiness, his life, and his heaven. What Adam and Eve were willing to become rebels in order to steal, God grants to us as a free gift by adoption. He doesn't just grant us amnesty. He doesn't just stop at a full pardon. No, he comes to each of us and says, "You are the adopted sons and daughters of God." A wonder. Salvation unto us has indeed come, and so very, very much more. St. Paul writes, "Now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe." Brothers and sisters, if God was willing to go to such extraordinary lengths in order to save rebels like you and me, he is certainly willing to help you in the problems that you face here at college and your day-to-day life. If he is willing to blot out all of our sins and drown them in the depths of the sea, then there is no problem that he will think is too trifling. He is indeed present for you wherever the word and the sacraments are present. If his word was able to bring all things into being, it can certainly also restore your being as well. St. John once wrote, "Greater love is no one than this, and to lay down his life for his friends." And yet, would you and I die for an enemy? Which one of us here today would lay down our lives for someone who betrayed us? That's why it took divine love to save us. For only divine love, divine self-sacrifice, could satisfy the wrath of God. Amen. Congregation may rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. You may be seated for the hymn. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.